Where are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam,
John,
and Sean.
And just going on repeating what John said last week. If you give us a 5-star review in the name of any movie, we will review it and give our takes on it. No matter how obscure it is, what genre it falls into,
how old it is.
Whether or not it's pornography.
Well, that's more or less Sam's area of expertise, I guess. So
I will have to watch it 15 minutes at a time.
Any review online, I guess, on iTunes, we'll
did it just click, Chris? Like,
what?
Did it just click what Sam said?
Like, what, with the porno thing?
How he could only watch it 15 minutes at a time.
Oh, no, I didn't even hear that.
I thought 15. That's why you're laughing.
Is that generous?
Listen, if I got time, I mean, just slow it down a bit.
Anyway, how was everybody's week? Everybody survived the snow?
It's been good.
Yeah.
Woo.
So is it, question for you, is it too late to have a Thanksgiving Day sub?
No, it's never too late.
No, never.
Good, because I might have just had the best one I've ever had.
I don't know. You've never had a grateful day from Grateful Bread, because no one will be able to get one because they're closed now.
Have you been to the North End Deli in Plainville?
No, but you've never been to Grateful.
I have not. No,
and you never will.
Where is it?
They're closed now.
Oh, then I can't.
I know, but it was amazing. The guy was a genius when it came to making sandwiches.
Oh, then clearly he wasn't, because if the place is out of business,
he went a little alcoholic crazy, I think.
Allegedly.
I mean, every time we went to lunch other places that had a bar, we found him there. So either he was stalking us, or he was going to every bar in the area.
All right. Yeah. So, movies.
So, that's our call out a stranger
right,
portion.
Yeah. So,
should we do the itinerary?
We had some. Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, let's get the itinerary going here. All right. First half of the episode is going to be reviews on Claws. Quick reviews on Claws. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. I'm the only one who saw it. If you haven't listened to us before, I'm the only one who watched the Fast and Furious movies.
Yep.
Then John and Sam are going to do Knives Out, but it's going to be spoiler-free. It's kind of give us a teaser. Two trailers, Wonder Woman 1984, and Ghostbusters Afterlife. Some Golden Globes, brief glance over. And then afterwards, we're going to talk about Watchmen, as always, pretty much. And then the majority of the episode is going to be our favorite movies of the decade. The past decade, it's going to be our favorite movies. We're doing it this week because for the next couple weeks, there's going to be a few major things coming out. Like the finale of Watchmen comes out, and then there's Star Wars.
Little Women.
Jumanji.
I'm watching that tomorrow. So we're doing it this week, and then end of year will be, you know, beginning of next year.
We'll still have some 2019 top tens or top fives.
Whatever. We can even wait a little bit for that, because some of the movies are going to be
for sure.
You know, excuse me, limited release or something like that. But first, let's start off with movies. Claws.
All right, you want to go Claws first?
Yeah, quick take.
So this is we'll call rapid fire review.
Boom, boom. All right. So first of all, Claws, Netflix animated movie. It's about basically the origin of Santa Claus. It follows Jason Schwartzman's character, Jesper. He's a mail guy carrier whose dad is like the postmaster general, so he's like slacks off. So he's stuck in the middle of nowhere to deliver notes, but it's in a town between two feuding families. The heads of the family are played by Joan Cusack and Will Sasso. Norm MacDonald is randomly in this movie as a reoccurring character. He's like a boat guy.
Oh, for real? All
right. Yeah.
Like, I'm in then.
Yeah, right? And then Rashida Jones plays like the school teacher who nobody wants to learn because they're too busy fighting. So she turns over to selling like fish and whatnot. That's how she makes her living. And then Claus is played by J.K. Simmons. The animation style is they went with What would hand-drawn cartoons look like if we never like went towards CGI? So it's all hand-drawn, but they used CGI lighting to give it like a different look.
So like the characters are hand-drawn, but the backgrounds are...
The lighting is CGI. Oh, the backgrounds are also... Everything is hand-drawn, but the lighting is CGI.
So like... Okay. So the, like the shadows, I guess, are created. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Hmm. So like
that's interesting.
Yeah, I really like the animation style. I mean, for Christmas movies, I'm not a huge fan of Christmas movies, but I started watching this, and Amy was like, "Nah, I don't want to watch this. I have to pay attention." So she left, and I kept it on. And I was up until like 11:30 at night watching this, and I absolutely loved this movie. It was really good, well done, great acting. I gave it a 7.3. So, and there's my really quick review. Beat that.
If the internet worked, I can actually.
Do you want us to go, Chris?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If you want to do it, right, yeah, we'll
do it. So Sam and I saw Knives Out.
Yeah.
I think, you know, first off, fantastic movie.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful.
Wonderful is a good word to describe it.
Yeah.
It's not like... incredible, great, like an all-timer. It's just a very delightful movie to watch. Oh, yeah,
it's just, you go into it, you have a great time.
Yeah.
You walk out.
It's like watching The Sting, you know? It's like, yeah. It's like just, it's nice and it's well done. It's hard to discuss, I mean, almost pretty much impossible to discuss without spoilers, since this is pretty much a whodunit kind of murder mystery movie.
I wouldn't even describe this as a parody of a whodunit,
right?
But it becomes a good example of a whodunit.
Yeah, it inverts the sort of whodunit just enough,
yeah,
early enough that makes it, you know, because it's like anything else, you know, you get the like 10-15 minutes in the beginning and it's like all the cliches, but like if they did that the whole movie, it probably wouldn't be that great.
I mean, we even get the cliche at the end where we have everything explained to you,
right?
But like the movie earns it at that point.
Sure.
Where it's like, you're like, yeah, I'm okay with you explaining this to me just in a monologue.
Right. And it's not like I'm like super invested in the characters or whatever. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
They're all like archetypes and stuff.
So. Right. Yeah, very much so. Not really even sure what to add. I had no idea this was filmed in Massachusetts until I saw it. And then even then I was like, nah, it's got to be Atlanta.
Well, part of Mass.
Like Marlboro.
Oh, wow. Really? That close?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's a lot of... And, I mean, the cast of this is incredible. I mean, Daniel Craig.
Who's great.
Chris Evans. Chris Evans.
Frank Oz.
Frank Oz makes his first appearance in a movie in 20 years, I read.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of other people. I really liked it. I think I'm going to give this an 8.9.
8.9? All right. I am going to give this a 9.
Yeah.
Just a solid 9.
And a very high recommendation. I don't think... The only sort of thing that would maybe slip me up is it's like weirdly political for some points of it, but it doesn't like go anywhere with it.
Yeah.
It's just like they're really just playing stereotypes against the room sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Like the thing about this movie is I couldn't recommend this movie to everybody.
Yeah.
It's such an easy movie to watch. It's such an enjoyable movie to watch. Like if you just, you don't even have to be like that into movies. You're going to enjoy this movie.
Yeah. And honestly, too, I've mentioned this before, but there's, like, a lack of, like, non-IP, like, adult sort of movies that, you know, and this is definitely one of them. I would love to see more movies like this. And it's been modestly successful at the box office, so, and getting a little bit of awards buzz, too, that we'll see what happens.
So Rian Johnson has kind of made up for last year.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good director. You know, we won't talk about Star Wars. We've got a couple weeks there. Although, have you guys seen, and we can delve more deeply into this next week, but a lot of people throwing some shade at Last Jedi and the, like, J.J. Abrams and a bunch of the you know, big names, Boyega, and I think...
what, they're throwing shade at Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, oh, thank God, J.J. Abrams is coming back.
Really?
But yeah.
For Knives Out, Rian Johnson, A-OK by me. It's like almost as good as Looper. Just now, this is way better than Looper.
Oh, yeah, this is just really good.
You think Looper sucked?
I hated Looper. This was the Bruce Willis.
Yeah, it's like nothing like Looper.
The prequel to Gemini Man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, Hobbs and Shaw.
All right, Hobbs and Shaw. Hobbs and Shaw. I'm the only one who watches the Fast Furious movies.
Yep.
Obviously. So this picks up the best part of the movie. The last movie, was it Fast 8? It was Hobbs and Shaw. That was the best part of the last movie. And they did their spinoff. And it's still Fast Furious, Hobbs and Shaw. And this literally picks up right where the whole thing left off. Not story-wise, but it's just the relationship between the two. And that carried over through this movie. So you have Hobbs and Shaw meet up again. They're angry at each other all the time. And there's this deadly virus that bad guys want to take. In this case, Idris Elba is the bad guy. He does a very, very good... I love him. Oh, regardless of what he does. I love him. I wanted him to be the next Bond.
Well, I wanted him to be the next Bond or Batman.
I'd even do Old Man Batman with Idris Elba.
You could.
I mean, he's getting up there, so you might have to. But
yeah. But yeah, so you get introduction to him as a bad guy. And all villains in this are kind of just one and done type thing anyway. So
oh, really?
Yeah. Vanessa, you got introduced to Vanessa Kirby, who is Jason Statham's, I guess in this case, Shaw's sister. And then Cliff Curtis is in this as well. And it's really just another Fast and Furious movie. It's another action movie. The biggest things I took away from this, and I wrote them down, is it wouldn't be a rock movie without a haka dance. Or just the haka.
Yeah.
How's the whole like third act in this?
Off the wall. I'd say just completely ludicrous.
Yeah. When they go back to like
when they go back to Samoa. Like,
yeah. No, it's just like it's just.
Wait, ludicrous
action,
shows up?
Just action. No.
It's just ludicrous for the entire third act. He's like,
no. Part in that little reference to other Fast and Furious movies, but. Yes. No, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just action. Action packed. People would assume is a good thing. It was just action packed in the sense that there was just action for 30 minutes. Actually, it's longer than that because I looked at the time. I'm like, this movie needs to hurry the fuck up. So,
is it one of those like it's just too much noise?
Oh yeah, every Fast and Furious is from the fifth one on. It's just too much noise.
So the successful ones,
the big ones.
Listen, people like noise, all right?
Yeah, I don't get it. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, the every movie that The Rock now does, I think, is going to be, it's going to involve a haka. I think that's just what it's going to be from now on.
We'll find out tomorrow.
And then the second thing I wrote down is, it wouldn't be a Fast and Furious movie without NOS, because why the hell does this movie need that?
Nitrous oxide.
They don't even call it NOS. It's, I forget. I should have wrote it down. I forget what they call it, but they call it something like hit the hamburger or something like that. And then it's just the trucks are all linked together, dangling off a cliff, attached to a helicopter. And then it's like, hit the NOS, and he pushes it, and then he pulls the helicopter down. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's no. Just bad. Bad. But yeah, it's Fast and Furious, so I don't want to put it past him. Anyway.
So what's your rating?
Definitely not recommend this movie to anybody.
Wow.
Just complete, only Fast and Furious fans. Just... That's all it was. I recommend it for that.
But will they love it?
No. Absolutely not. No way. Again, best part of this movie was the interaction between Statham and The Rock. And that's pretty much it. So, 6. I give this a 6.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty low. I can't.
What?
It's the ninth one in the... Well, this is technically a spinoff, so it's like 8.5.
What would you have given like the highest?
Fast 5 would be my favorite of all of them. And I'd say... an 8.7.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I really liked
Fast 5. The story itself, the interaction between all the characters, it felt so much more like an actual movie, and they put effort into it than any other one.
So, Chris, would this movie be improved if the two main characters only communicated in the form of muscle flexing?
No, actually, you don't even see Jason Statham's muscles. You don't even see Jason Statham's muscles in the movie.
Yeah, I don't think he's that jacked.
He's not. He's fit. He's wicked
he's
fit.
He's a fit guy. Yeah,
he can do the pole thing, like hang on the side like a flag. He can do that. That's ridiculous.
Right.
I don't know anybody who could do that. Personally, I don't. But
so he's all core.
I don't know. Just the amount of stuff. I think I was reading Men's Health magazine, his workout routine. It's just he does like calisthenics for 6 hours in the morning, and then he does like physical like cardio for 4 hours in the afternoon every day. It's just what the. I'd love to be a celebrity and have 10 hours to work every day on my body, but nope. Sit at a desk and I'm wicked fat.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Hell yeah,
Fast Furious. What do we want to do now? Trailers?
Yeah, all right. So trailers. We had two big trailer releases. Let's talk about Wonder Woman first. Wonder Woman 1984, I should say, or WW 1984.
World War 1984.
I think it's just WW 84.
That's Wonder Woman 84, but or yeah. 1984 is the actual full title, but they abbreviated it as that.
In any case, hey guys, it's the 80s. Haven't had any of that for a while.
Man, I've missed that since watching Stranger Things season 3.
Yeah, I was just about to, I'm going to dust off this old nugget of mine. Why does everything have to be Stranger Things?
I don't know, man. This is tough to say.
I don't know if you guys got this, but this was a bad trailer to me.
Yes, it was.
Okay, good. Okay.
I mean, was it?
I'm just thinking, like, I don't know.
Okay, we'll dissect the whole thing, but really quick. She was lassoing lightning.
Okay, here's the thing.
Is light like lightning the actual lightning, or like is that a person?
The actual
lightning. No, actual lightning. In its defense, it is a comic book movie.
Yeah, yeah. I understand that. I was about to be, Sean, it's cool.
Is it?
Yes, like, it is. I think it is.
I think it's fine. I just, and like, look, we all liked the first one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I would say we all really enjoyed it.
Definitely.
But, I don't know.
Some more than others.
Yeah, I just watched. Sam 9.2. Sam's got to chop it up into 6 15-minute parts. So, Wonder Woman.
I like Chris Pine, okay?
I like the fanny pack, too, in that trailer, though. The white fanny with the black leather.
I want to know, like, that's the big question is how are they going to. Because at first I thought it was like a figment of her imagination
that's what I was thinking.
Kind of thing. But now he's, like, dressed for the 80s and interacting with things and punching people and stuff. Like,
it makes me think he's maybe real. I don't know.
I'm thinking, like, a clone the bad guy made.
Why?
Because shut up.
40 years later, he should have aged.
Although he's like,
so something's going on.
Like what? He's supposed to be. Well, no. I mean, he definitely died.
Yeah, he blew up on a.
Or plane. I don't know. I mean,
he blew
couldn't
up.
He?
It was World War I. This is the '80s.
Where does he blow up? He doesn't blow up in the
plane.
Okay, but that's in the real world. That's not in Atlantis or fucking.
No,
whatever
that's
they
in
are.
The real world.
It's not Atlantis. I know. What is it called?
Themyscira?
I think it.
I don't know. The Magic Island.
Oh, Themyscira.
Yeah.
I think.
Themyscira. I just watched this when I was like, this is whatever. I didn't really feel anything.
What, the trailer?
Like, yeah. I've seen this 1,000 times.
Yep, agreed.
Listen, I like going into this trailer. I mean, like, after this trailer, am I any less going to. God, this sentence is tough for me.
Come on.
Are you gonna see the movie?
Enthused for this movie. No. Like, all right, the first one was good. We have the same director and Patty Jenkins. We have basically the same cast with a couple more people.
Without Professor Lupin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so what? That might
we
improve
know
with
yet.
The fight. That might improve with the fight
scene. As long
scene
as he brings
end.
That mustache with him.
He always has that mustache.
No matter what.
But like you know what? This is going to be a fun movie. I have all the confidence in the world. It's going to be fun. Is it going to be great? Probably not. I didn't think the first one was great. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
But, like, all right. This will be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, if it gets bad reviews, I might get turned off and just not see it. If it's good, I'll probably see it.
I went into this trailer knowing very little about other than Chris Pine is coming back and, Cheetah is played by Kristen Wiig. Those are like the only, and it takes place in the '80s. Those three things that I knew from this trailer. So I was like, after the first one, like it was good. It's not as phenomenal as some people make it up to be, but it was good. So like I was kind of interested in a sequel, and after watching this trailer, I'm afraid.
It doesn't look bad.
It just looks like everything
else.
It just looks
goofy
like everything
in a way.
Else. Like, no, I feel like, I wouldn't even go that far.
But the sequels are always more, you know, jokey, and like that's just kind of the nature.
If you're gonna put a word for it, it looks like a sequel.
Yeah,
and I mean, granted, it is, but it looks like a sequel. That's just,
I mean, it's kind of funny one that they go from World War One where like that the colors are like gray and brown, and that whole movie like. That's kind of the color scheme right. of
Whereas
it.
This is like neon.
It's like, oh my god, in your face! Yeah. But I mean, it's the '80s. It is 70 years later. Well, no, but it's the '80s. The '80s are like
things didn't
oh my
change.
God. Yeah.
I mean,
no, I'm saying
it
like,
was very odd how they were using phones in cars like almost all the time. That wasn't the thing in the first movie.
No, I'm just saying, like it's. Drastically different, like color.
I mean, it's
like,
a sequel. I mean, it's that. A good way to present time has changed.
I agree.
Well,
I'm just stating a fact here. Like, this is what like what you see. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying this is something you
and,
see.
Like, I'm gonna go back to the lightning, Sean. If anything is gonna put me my ass in the seat, it's gonna be like she can lasso lightning now.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
is that ridiculously stupid? Yes. But like that's why I go see these movies.
That's a good. That's a very good point.
I hate to say it too, but Chris Pine's comedy kind of sparked some interest in me.
Really?
I don't know why. I thought he delivered the trash can thing pretty well. I think.
I thought it was.
I mean,
okay.
he can deliver comedy.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, he's a funny guy. So
yeah, mm-hmm.
I can maybe that joke didn't work for me. But like at the same time, I could see this working.
If they do like he skips time. I think it would be great if he's this guy from World War One who's thrust into 1984.
That's what it seems like.
That's what it seems like. So
that also scares me, though, that they do stuff like that.
Yeah, it's comic
books. But it's the reverse of the first movie. He's now the fish out of water.
You know, speaking of fish out of water, you know what I would love to see in a third movie?
Oh, God.
Aquaman team up?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about 15 minutes at a time. Yeah. All right. We can move on. the Ghostbusters.
Wait, what could be possibly the best 80s movie?
Like
Ghostbusters
of all time. Is it Ghostbusters?
I don't know.
It's pretty high up.
I mean,
there.
I think
Atomic Blonde is pretty great.
Like
the
most
too.
80s movie or the best 80s
probably
movie?
Probably the best 80s movie. Not like, made in the 80s, but
like about
time
the 80s.
Not just about, but takes place in
the
80s.
I think Wall Street would have to be in there.
Oh yeah, that's a good 80s.
Yeah.
It's so like superficially the 80s. Also, I mean, American Psycho would be for me.
Yeah, it's more of a small scale. You see a little bit more with the Wall Street. That's a good call. I watched Atomic Blonde the other day again, and
is it that good?
I think that's pretty good. The Atomic Blonde?
Is it on anything? Is it on like HBO?
I don't recall where I watched it. It might have been FX, but it's definitely. Have you not seen it?
No.
It's
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron and McAvoy.
Okay.
And.
Oh yeah, isn't she like?
There's another one. John Candy, I think, is in it too.
John Candy?
I doubt
John
it.
Not John Candy.
John Cusack?
No, the guy. Oh, what the hell? That's definitely not John Candy. Then
no,
the guy
Dan
who
Aykroyd?
Plays Roseanne.
John Goodman.
John Goodman. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why that. Anyway, he's in it. Yeah, I know. I knew that immediately as they said it.
His corpse is in the movie.
All right, that was pretty good. I think you'll like that.
Okay, well, I'll add it to the list. All right, Ghostbusters, a
afterlife
continuation of the story of the original two movies made in the 1980s.
Yeah.
So this is being written, I think, and directed by Jason Reitman, son of Ivan Reitman, who directed the original two movies, and just a classic comedy director from that era.
So right there, you kind of feel like it might be in the right hands.
Yeah, I would definitely say when it was announced, I was like, that's a good person to make it.
Yeah.
Having seen the trailer, they totally missed the mark.
Yeah.
You think?
This is what Ghostbusters is. Ghostbusters is a really funny movie with just good comedic actors in just ridiculous situations and pretty much just reacting to them. And it's a bare bones of a story around them. There is no Ghostbusters mythos. Like, I mean, I see the Ecto one and it's like, oh, that's okay. That's cool. But it's not Like, I'm not, like, all, like, you know, like, and this movie is, like, supposed to be playing with your, like, nostalgic heartstrings. And I loved Ghostbusters. I saw that, like, a shitload of times, so much that my mom was like, he can't watch Ghostbusters anymore. It's keeping him up at night. And then I moved out.
Was it, like, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Well,
but I guess, like, it's making it seem like it's like fucking Star Wars, and it just, it's not. It's Ghostbusters, and I love those movies, but it's like, stop making it bigger than what it is.
Yeah, and like I had the same feeling during the freak out before the previous remake,
right?
Where like everybody's like, oh, they're ruining this for us, and I was like, how?
Why is this on a pedestal?
Like, yeah, like why are we putting this on a pedestal? Like, it's just Ghostbusters, guys. And, like, granted, I haven't seen that movie, but I've heard it, like, kind of missed the mark. But it's like, I think they were more on the mark than this movie.
Yeah, it seemed like the right tone, at least.
Yeah, it was like, here's some funny people.
The female cast one?
Yeah.
Tonally, that movie was more Ghostbusters than the 2 minutes we just watched.
Right. Mm. And I don't know,
we could be deceived.
I'll withhold judgment. I feel like there's a decent chance I'll go see this unless it's like really getting shitty reviews.
Right.
But I don't know, man. Like, I don't think like a bunch of like teenagers like Stranger Thinging it again, fucking everywhere. I don't know, man. I just, and like, look, I like Paul Rudd seems like he's doing some interesting stuff here. I mean, he's just playing Paul Rudd. That's all Paul Rudd
does.
That's
all he does. Yeah.
And like, I'm not complaining at all. But I don't know. This just seems like a waste of time.
I mean, based on this trailer, it looks like it could be a good movie. I do agree that like it's just supposed to be a silly movie, but perhaps this trailer was cut kind of to pull at those heartstrings and
like doesn't it seem like it's like Star Wars? Like, yeah. like we just had the Episode 9 trailers, and it seems like it's almost the same sort of or it's almost even more like you know, like Episode 7.
Right, right. Whereas, like, remember this and remember that, like Chewie were some home, cool stuff. Like, yeah. Like, and that's how I feel about it. So, like, obviously, this is a comedy.
Mm.
I'm assuming because the other two are comedies.
It wasn't exactly filled with jokes, I'll say that much.
But that could be the purpose of this trailer, is just kind of get you amped up for this mythos that is the Ghostbusters that, like, we didn't know existed. Kind of thing,
I guess.
I don't know. Well,
they show us the trap, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. Like, this is a trailer, so maybe that's the point of the trailer, is just kind of be like, remember this, remember this, remember this. Like, here's all these things just to jog your memory.
But, like, I didn't go into Ghostbusters for the ghost trap. I went in for, like,
Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was that?
Apparently, they're coming back.
Oh, yeah, they're all coming back. Oh.
This is why I think the trailer is deceiving a little bit, because number one, we did not see them at all.
I would have thought almost, if you're going to do, like, a two-minute trailer, you do, like, a minute of the, like, bullshit, like, fake nostalgic stuff, and then you'd have, like, it be like, oh, yeah, but this is the actual movie. Like, Bill Murray shows up and all this shit. Like, I don't know. Maybe...
I wonder if this is the... I mean, I hate to utilize this, but if this is the teaser.
Yeah.
And official one.
That's how I feel.
Is going to be like the story, like you said, the storyline. Yeah. What's going to happen? And then we get the Bill Murray and, you know.
The actual cameos we're waiting for.
You know, so they had, like, they have the Bill Murray clip, the voiceover part.
Yes.
And it's funny because I heard that and I was like, oh, yeah, that is from Ghostbusters. Because it's like, you know, one that, like, I remember, like, him saying that. But I couldn't necessarily, like, pinpoint the movie in my mind that's from.
Because it wasn't exactly word for word from the movie. There was hesitations, there was pauses, there was the way he said different words, but that it was not from the first
movie.
But
I knew what the speech was. I guess, like, to me, like, it could have just as easily been from Stripes. You know?
See, yeah. I didn't realize that till you just mentioned it. I was like, oh, yeah, that is in the first movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys don't remember that?
Like, it didn't. Like, I remember it now, but no. Like, once again, I didn't go see that movie for the speech. Right. I went to see it for the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
That's true. As a kid, that was awesome.
Really sucks it's not going to be like Rick Moranis. That'd be great if he comes out of retirement. Maybe he'll see The Irishman.
He won't.
And everybody like loving Joe Pesci, and he'll be like, maybe this is my time.
No. Can you imagine the amount of people who went up to him and said, hey, we have this awesome role, and if it fits right in your wheelhouse, and it's nice and easy, you don't have to be in the spotlight or anything, and he still says no. He still says no. So there's no way he's coming back.
Well, I feel like that conversation, the next thing he says is this Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? And then the people start packing up and leaving.
That's the only one.
Was that his last movie?
That's the only unfinished business he has left.
Was that his last movie, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid?
No, no. He did a few others.
No, he didn't. He was in the third one, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah. Honey,
I don't recall.
What a trilogy that was. Why haven't they remade those?
He's done a few things. Brother Bear 1 and 2. He
two
was
words.
In those.
Rick okay. Moranis.
He was in the Brother Bear movies as basically the McKenzie brothers, but they were Moose.
Right.
Him and Dave Thomas.
Right. Well, any last parting Ghostbusters thoughts? I mean, I think it's a teaser.
It was definitely a teaser, but the one thing that you see in it that kind of like made me go, is when the claws land on the hood of the car. And it's the dog creatures from the first one.
Oh. Yeah, see, but it's...
I know.
It's a nostalgia grab.
It's a nostalgia grab, which is what I think this trailer...
This guy was related to, you know, Vito the Carpathian or whatever.
Vigo. But that's what I think this trailer was. It was just kind of like to pull at those strings. Like,
remember? It pulled at my strings too, though. Like, I'm interested in this.
I'm very interested because it seems like it could be a good movie.
You know, it just doesn't seem like a sequel to a movie that Dan Aykroyd got a blowjob from a ghost. Like, no, but really, though, could you have the, oh, God, what's the name? Jackie Wilson song, like, in this one?
Oh, with Your the Love toaster. Is Lifting Me Higher.
Like, that doesn't seem like that's this movie. Yeah. And that's, like, an iconic scene from the two movies.
I mean, we'll see. Only time will tell. And we have, like 6 or so months before this comes out. So, I mean, only time will tell. This could be an off-the-walls comedy. I mean, who knows? It's Paul Rudd. He does both movies.
But
it's either going to be an off the walls comedy or it's going to be a very serious kind of movie.
I want a comedy movie with an actual creepy or scary parts.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
And but that's not
You didn't get that in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the librarian that. Sam. Come on, the librarian.
No,
in the
that's
original.
Not that freaky,
dude. That was scary.
No, I mean Ghostbusters is like an action comedy. Like it's not really horror.
Yeah, it's not horror. I want a little bit of the horror stuff. Not horror per se, but like suspense, I guess.
But like, then why make a Ghostbusters movie?
Like, because it's a Ghostbusters movie. It has to be funny. More funny than just suspense. Because
somebody owes it to the fans after that Paul Feige, whatever his name is.
Movie. Not Feige.
Not Feige.
Paul Feige.
Feige.
Feige. No.
F-I-E-G-E.
Feige. Paul Feige. I don't know.
Either way, I know he agrees that the Ghostbusters was a bad movie.
We gotta keep on moving. Very quick news. Golden Globe nominations this week. We're not going to really talk about them. No. But four, incredibly, Joker nominated for Best Drama. So obviously they have the split category, so there's twice as many. Although it's only 10, and that's technically what they could have for Best Picture at the Oscars.
Right.
Todd Phillips, Best Director.
Wow.
Okay. And Joaquin Phoenix, Best Actor. So, you know, the one caveat that we have to always mention with the Golden Globes, it's like 40 people.
I actually just looked this up. 90.
90. So it's very much like people. Literally just winning individual people over.
And in case you don't know, just for clarity's sake, the Academy is at least a couple thousand people.
Yeah, the Academy is huge.
And they're all people who like work in the business. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are people, the
or
Hollywood
have,
foreign
or have
press.
Worked, yeah.
So, you know. So it's a little bit of a leading indicator, but not, you know.
Right.
And like this movie, you know, Joker 2 like won like the Venice Film Festival or whatever, which is still like insane to me. Mm-hmm. But, you know. Maybe, you know, it wasn't like super surprised, but I think it is significant that it got nominated. And it did, I mean, incredible at the box office. Made $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
We shall see what happens. All right. Do we have anything before Watchmen?
No.
All right. I'm Blue Baba Dee Baba Die, right? Pretty crazy episode this week. I know. For this show, right?
Right.
You finally got to see Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
Sort of. He was blurred out a lot.
His OG.
You see his hands stuff and the back of his head. That's all you really see.
I'm okay with that.
And I love
okay
it.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I'm
that
okay
was fantastic. That.
Yeah.
I mean, I just like the whole framing of the whole thing, making it their like little dinner date or whatever the first time they meet at the bar.
Yeah.
He buys her a beer, very much as a callback to in the comics, I think in the comics, at least in the movie, where Janie or whatever buys him a beer and he makes a big thing of it. You know, he mentions it. Mm-hmm. And when he tells a story, anyway,
See,
I just miss Dr. Manhattan.
I love the way this show is filmed, and the story, how everything flows very nicely together.
Especially in with a character such as this, where he's literally experiencing time.
Oh yeah, this was so well done. Like trying to show how he perceives time.
Yeah,
where like everything is happening at the same time.
Yeah, they kind of overemphasized it a little bit too much, but
yeah, but that's who Dr. Manhattan is.
I know.
I mean, he's not.
I mean, this was his episode.
So. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh this yeah. Was definitely, all about definitely him. His episode. But we also filled in a lot of blanks, particularly with Ozymandias, because that was a huge.
Or the bigger blank: how did Hooded Justice know that the sheriff was a KKK member and had the thing in
the
there?
Chicken or the egg?
Yeah. What if they happened at the same time?
Right, because she's talking to him about it, and it's like, yeah. And then there's like this really freaky moment where they really don't. I mean, it'd be impossible to dwell on it just because there's so much going on. And by the way, I can't believe. Next week is it, or this week is it.
I know.
I don't know how this wraps up in an hour, 15 minutes, or whatever.
So,
but there was, that really creepy point where she's like, oh, wait, did I cause this? And like you said, chicken or the egg, which I thought was so great just to throw in there, like on top of everything else.
Yeah.
And it's like also just shows him how detached he is, kind of, where like she's freaking out.
And he just wants to make waffles.
Yeah.
By the way, I really enjoyed when she's just like yelling at him. He's like, get the fuck off the pool.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. He said that she needed to see him standing there, but why?
That's going to come up.
Oh, okay.
But she needed to see him
standing in the pool.
I haven't really rewatched this, and I feel like you're right. Like, so many of the things he says are
because
like,
she's like, why are you standing in the pool? Get out of the pool. And he said, no, I need you to see me here.
Huh.
Yeah, but like obviously that doesn't come up again. So I'm wondering if they're going to come back to it next or this upcoming week.
It might be.
So,
well, he got transported, right?
Yes,
somewhere.
Was it the tachyon
cannon?
Tachyon cannon transported him somewhere.
Transported
forces
him
to teleport and
back to where the was 7th Cavalry is because their goal is to become him.
And. Yeah, it looks like the senator is going to try to become him.
Yeah, right? I saw that preview.
The preview, yeah.
Jeremy Irons, fucking great.
Oh, man.
But did you guys, by the way, did you know there was an end credits with him?
Yes.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm like, he's going crazy with the horseshoe. So let's just let it go. But Jeremy Irons, man, I think he's the number one actor in this show right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
I definitely
it's hard
love
to find
what
a number
doing.
Two.
Yeah. I mean,
I do like how they explained Europa and the utopia on Europa and like who the Game Warden is. Like, they explained everything.
Why are they all the same person?
Right.
And he's like really hitting it on the head of like when he sees them having sex, he's like eating an apple and like. Some imagery, folks.
Yeah.
Read a fucking book for once.
The show is really thought out, though, with all that little.
It's very dense.
All those little things.
Yeah, small details, which a show like this needs.
And you know, we've had a lot of reveals. I mean, it's incredible how much different of a show this is from the first like two episodes.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen Panda Guy in, like,
forever.
Ooh.
No, we also haven't seen the slick oiled dude who slid through the
Lube dude?
Lube dude. I think that's Agent Petey. I'm like pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think I read somewhere too that the whole like Pedopedia thing, like that HBO does, that gives you a little background or whatever. I think it's like all but confirmed in his thing because he had like a similar build.
Yeah.
can we talk about one thing that's been bothering me that I haven't seen mentioned anywhere on the internet? Red Scare just fucking eats Cheetos with a fork.
Yes, I agree. That is so weird. Like every time you see him,
and it's not. No one makes any reference to it.
It's got to be something to do with the. That's also great,
and it's a smart idea too, because right. You know it gets all.
I you know what?
Is it his costume? You think?
No, I think it's fingerprints.
Yeah,
because
it could be.
Would it transfer?
Oh yeah,
I guess it. Yeah, I don't know why it wouldn't.
Because you know, you eat Cheetos with your fingers, you get the residue on your fingers, and then oh no, I got to stop a bad guy mid. You know. Eating, you run after, you do whatever, you leave that residue on their whatever.
Yeah,
and so that's how I've thought about it.
Well, he's also he was also speaking on a megaphone too, I think.
No, every time you see him eating Cheetos, it's multiple times.
Yeah,
oh,
I've noticed. There's like two or three at least.
Was he in this episode?
No,
yeah,
not in this one. No, he was in the last one.
Yeah,
when she escaped,
and he was eating Cheetos with a fork.
Yeah. Huh. Well.
Dr. Manhattan is my least favorite comic book character.
Why?
Oh, really?
He's literally God.
I don't like it. I don't know why.
But it's so... I mean, like, yes, it's in some ways one note, but it's so just different from anything else. Like he's not Superman. Like, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care enough to
I know,
be Superman.
I agree. I just,
but, like, at the same
favorite.
Time, this episode was also showing he cares in some way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like
he tries to.
He there's definitely some kind of, like... empathy still left in him. He's not completely detached. Whereas, like in the comic book, it's showing he's kind of completely detached.
Well, I think it's also that little thing that he had put in his head to. I think the personalities and the things he's learned throughout the past 10 years. I think
10 years.
I think that might be a sign where it's kind of blending and he's getting his humor back because or whatever she's doing to him because remember he chuckled when. He said he's Osmania said something, but then at the same time,
it was about imagination.
Lady Knight was saying something, and then he giggled or something like
yeah,
that.
It was, yeah, so it was about imagination.
Yeah, she said
he's
doing
something to him. It's,
yeah, she said he has a tremendous imagination. Osmania said, "You have no imagination."
Yeah. And then he laughed, right? So she's clearly doing something to him. Changing his personality and kind of loosen him up a bit because he's a tight fucker.
He's in love with her.
Yeah, that was a great moment where he's like, this is the moment. This is the moment I fall in love with you.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So I would have been pissed too. It'd be like, dude, you don't say that to girls because you were with her for 10 years.
Yeah. Listen, let's just say that.
Didn't she say that? She's like, we've been together for 10 years and this is the time you tell me that?
Listen. After that Antarctica scene, he has one very big thing that makes up for that.
Oh, Sam. Jesus. And that was the end of his 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I can't. I no idea what's going to happen. I mean.
Explosions.
So, to wrap it all up in
like
an hour. Is
we feel in a second season?
Hopefully.
I would like to see
how
more.
You wrap it up. It
yeah, I'd like
how you
to see
up.
More. The I don't one, know if I want a second season.
The one thing that makes me feel like there will be a second season, the whole Ozymandias plot.
Yeah.
How is that going to tie into this?
But I kind of like the fact that we only get 5 minutes of Ozymandias every episode.
Right, so, but...
If we had 30 minutes of that, I think I would go nuts.
But it's not going to completely tie up after... This episode is what I feel like you're saying, right?
Yeah. It feels like you can't tie that up in this episode. Because the only way you tie that up is tying it with everything else. Because
we have the seven
but
cavalry
I think
that's
him, though.
Tied up.
Like, I'm almost positive it's going to be he was in the comet or whatever that Lady True picks up. Because that hasn't, we don't know anything at all.
True,
about that.
Yeah, that could be him. Yeah.
That I mean, it's got to be, right? Like, I mean, what else would it, it's not Dr. Manhattan. So
right.
What else would it be?
Or is it?
You went down the rabbit hole, didn't you?
I don't think. No. But that's always, there's just a lot of strings that have just been out there the whole time. And it's like, what else would that be at this point?
With a show that is so obsessed with minor details, everything basically has a reason. And you're just trying to figure out why.
Do you think HBO is going to fall into this thing where the first season of the shows are written this well, and they're always thought out and planned. Like Westworld, for example, the first season was by far the best season.
Oh well, yeah. Mm.
And then this, what if they did a second season? Do you think it's not going to be as thought out? Or
you know, there was a point where I was like, well, maybe this could be like an anthology show where it's like a different thing. But this is too much of a sequel to Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that would be interesting to me is what if they did like a Minutemen series?
Yeah,
do like that could maybe
flashback.
Work. Yeah.
Watch. I mean, there's the difference between this and Westworld is Westworld is a very one-dimensional world.
Yeah, where it's one note.
Yeah, it's like, one note. It's like you're in the park. Like,
what do you think of
who's a robot?
Isn't
who's
this
a human?
Surprising?
Like, yeah. So, whereas this
robots
show,
are acting like human and humans are acting like robots.
Ooh. Whereas this show, it's literally a world you're given. It's something we're not too familiar with because it's
like Night Owl hasn't even shown up. We could do stuff with him
because we know he's still around.
He's in jail for some reason.
I guess it depends. It depends on how tight the knot is at the end of this season. Because I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I could see it wrapping up in an hour and 15 minutes, but I don't know how.
Part of me doesn't want it to.
I want more of this.
I do.
But I don't want it to be like super open-ended though. Mm-hmm. At the same time, like if it was two seasons and they knew what they were doing, okay, but I think he just made it for it so it's one season.
Okay. I mean, we'll see. My thing is it's very rare these days for these kind of shows to come out once a week for me to actually be like, "Oh my god, I need to watch the next one." Westworld season 1 was like that for me. This is like that, but like there really isn't anything else other than like a half hour comedy show, like, you know, It's Always Sunny
or
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where you just kind of throw it on, turn your brain off and just laugh.
Yeah.
Like this is an hour and a half. This is almost the length of a movie that I have to set aside, and I can't wait. And I'm the same way with The Mandalorian. It's great that like we're at a time where I've got multiple shows where I'm so excited for the next one.
I mean, Mando has the advantage of being only a half hour long.
Right. Half hour to 40 minutes. But this is almost a movie. It's like sitting down and watching a movie every week.
It is. It is.
And I'm very excited to do that, whereas it's very rare for me.
I mean, we haven't
to do
explained
that.
The elephant yet.
Yeah, I don't know, guys.
I don't think you're ever gonna get that.
I think there are just certain elements, like even going back to like The Leftovers, that just like random shit just happened every once in a while. Like, you know, Lube Man happened. By the way, one random thing on Westworld, we still haven't gotten a release date on that.
Yeah,
or a premiere date.
It might be summer. It'll be summer next year.
Maybe. I mean, they you know, a lot of CG, so maybe they have to film it, and then it just takes a while.
I kind of want them to tidy up, though. I do, too. We'll wait.
Let them tidy up.
Let them get the little intricacies of like, this show.
Yeah.
And
I feel bad about Westworld because the more time that is spent away from it, the more I'm like, yeah, just end it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one.
Although, I'll tell you, if there is a second season of Watchmen, I feel the same way, though. Like, take your time.
Yes,
if this happens 2 years from now, so be it.
Yeah, please. Okay. As long as it's as good.
As much as I'm jonesing for more of this, take your time. Like, just give me something good, man.
Yeah.
I'm coming to you for the quality stuff. I'd
rather take good stuff
than
just stuff.
Would you guys be interested in all if they did, like, an 8 episode or something like that? If they just did Watchmen as a series?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be 100%
like including
the original comic,
like the original comic.
I don't know if they have
at this point.
I don't know if they have enough material because it's still a comic book and comic books are kind of short,
mm-hmm. right?
And so, like,
it's graphic novel.
Sorry, graphic novel. Like, I don't know if there's enough there.
Yeah. Certainly for, but like certain things like fight scenes and action, like that, you know, seems longer than what it would be on the
something that's like 3 frames in a comic book can actually be stretched out to like 5 minutes.
But like I can see you getting like maybe 4 episodes out of it.
Right. That's a 4 hour. I mean, the movie was 2.5 hours, right. And I think the extended cut is like 4 hours actually.
Yeah,
or the ultimate,
long.
Whatever.
It's at least 3 hours. I believe.
Dawn Treader.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, with that, yeah.
So. Being that it's a 9 year and the end of the decade, Sam, shut the fuck up. I don't want to talk about how it's not technically the decade.
John, I'm like on board with you on that.
Well, you know what, Sam? Okay, I'll tell you what, Sam, because you brought up to me when I was like fucking 9 years old. Oh, it's not actually the new millennium.
Here's the thing.
I will never forget that.
Here's the thing.
Always fucking shitting on years.
I was nine, and I still respected my father.
Right.
Okay. Wow. Jesus,
this just got deep.
Oh, man. Right. Should I stop this before we get? All right. Okay, so
we have made the best top 10 films or our favorite films of the decade.
Yeah. Starting in 2010, so, right?
Starting in 2010. Yeah. What's going to happen is somebody else is going to read your own.
All right. So how about we pass it to the right?
Pass it to the right. There we go.
Let's.
All right, don't open it yet. Don't open it.
No,
don't open
first it. Of all, let's go around the table and explain how you got to the list that you did.
Okay. Exactly.
So I will start.
Go ahead.
So what I did was I looked at... Sam, you're not supposed to read yet. looking at mine. God. So what I did was I went through all the years, 2010 to 2019, and I picked out about five, maybe more, maybe less, of my favorite movies of that year. Not good movies that I like. Like, ones that I'm like, yeah, I could easily rewatch or... so good I can't rewatch. Like, you know, there's those kind of movies where it's like, that was an amazing movie, but it's going to be a tough rewatch. So I looked through all of them, through like top grossing and like best rated, and I was just going through everything I could. And I like I said, I picked out top five. Then what I did was, based on those top five, I picked my favorite of each year and a runner up of each year. And then I ranked my personal top five, but I also, on top of that, kind of ranked each year based on the movies that came out. Okay. So I have like my favorite year and my least favorite
year. Do you know, without going into the whole list of that, what was the best year of the decade?
I believe it was, I have it on my paper. I believe it was 2018, yeah, last year.
Oh, wow, okay.
Really?
Okay. I've come to the decision, by the way. We could talk about this later. I think 2019, really good movie year.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. It's definitely shaping up to be.
Like up there of like ones that I can remember in recent memory.
Like, I still got like two movies out there that I need to see.
I do have to say 2010, really good year, though.
Yeah.
Under the radar.
It is really much peaks and valleys, though.
It definitely is. So,
there were some years I struggled to get three.
There are some years I don't have any.
Yeah.
It was tough.
All right, Sam, how'd you come up with your list?
My method was a bit bare bonesy compared to that, where just I wrote down any movie that from the past decade that I remember being good. I just wrote them all out, and I basically felt like, if I'm not remembering this movie, is it really going to make my top 10?
True.
Yeah.
It's like, if you, top 10 are going to be movies that stick with me. So that was my whole thing. I did do some, like, just a quick Google search of, like, highest grossing, just in case I was forgetting anything.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't delve that deep into it. I just wrote down everything I remember being good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So I did Box Office Mojo? Or, I don't know, IMDb or Box Office Mojo. Top 300 films of every year grossing, and looked at all of them. And then I just wrote down, I whittled it down to 28. And then I removed, to make it interesting and fun, I removed all Marvel and Star Wars.
Okay.
I removed all those. And even then, it was, of the 28, it was maybe four. So it wasn't a huge amount. So took all those down and whittled them down to 10. And there are particular reasons why they are my favorite. So
okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just went through like Box Office Mojo and like some of the awards things, and just like made a list of stuff I liked. Then I gave it like a quick ranking, like 1 to 4. All the fours made it to my list, I think. And then I had a couple threes I had to fill in. So,
okay.
Yeah. Towards the bottom of that list, though, like in your 8th, 9th, and 10th area, you're like fighting between some of them. It was tough. Yeah. It was tough.
You know, I tried to give it a little bit of, like, I didn't want it too much of a certain kind of thing. Like, I didn't want to have, like, a lot of a one director or, you know, type of movie kind of thing.
My giant list, I started, like, numbering them out, like, just picking ones that I know are going to be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And the quick ones I got, I put that at the bottom. The ones that like took me a bit, I knew those were going to be at the top of the list. Well, the
I've
10 near 10.
Yeah, I have a quick question for you guys. Were any of you guys surprised when you picked your number one?
I didn't rank them.
You didn't rank them?
I did top 10. I couldn't rank them. It was so hard to rank them.
All right. John, did you rank them?
Yeah.
Were you surprised what your number one was?
Not really.
No? Okay.
I'd seen it. I felt a little bad because I'd seen it on so many other people's number ones, but...
Okay.
We can get
yeah,
to
no,
it.
Yeah, no, yeah, we'll get to it.
I was a little surprised on that.
I was surprised till I thought about it, and I was like, no, that makes so much sense. Like, yeah, that makes way too much sense. And like you said, John, I will explain later. So who wants...
Let's do this.
So I don't have a 10 through 6. So Sam can't read my list.
Okay.
For that.
We probably should have figured this out before.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Do you want to pause and give us a second?
Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or are we pausing?
Are we pausing?
Well, let's just pause.
No. Okay.
Let's just pause. All right. So methodology has been decided. We're going to go through... So we all have a different person's list. I have Chris's list. Sean has my list. Sam has Sean's list. And Chris has Sam's list.
I have Sam's list.
So we're just going to go 10 to 1. And just one at a time. We're going to do quick hits on the movies. All right.
Start at 10. Go around the room.
Yep. Go to 9. Yeah. All right. Chris, you're number 10. Miss Sloane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Why is that on your list?
Build up. Ending. Perfect.
Okay.
Has anybody seen it yet?
No.
This is the one with Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. Is this the poker one?
This is the one. No, this is the one about it's political theater. It's like a political drama suspense almost.
Right. What year? This year?
I wrote years at the top. I forget what year it was. It was 2 years ago?
2016.
All right. Okay. Yeah, now I'm starting to remember this.
Yeah, 2016. Right. Really good. Definitely worth it. I think you would like it a lot. Right.
I'll check it out.
John, you're number 10. The Nice Guys.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling, Russell Crowe, and a comedy throwback. Well, not a throwback, but it's in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I thought, to me, best comedy of the decade.
Okay.
Fucking love that. Like, Big Lebowski level for me, pretty much.
All right.
All right.
Awesome. I couldn't recommend it higher.
Okay.
All right, Sean. You're number 10.
Yes, it is.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Holy Jesus, of course it was. I knew you'd have at least one Godzilla on this list.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said,
we even need to explain why
was
on
it
this
one
list.
Instead why, of the other one? So why was the other one on there, too?
The other one was good. It's just not enough monsters. Okay. This one, like I said, when I reviewed this, I can't look at this and be like, actually, like, rate it correctly because... For a fan of the Godzilla movies, this was like exactly what I wanted.
What did you give this? You give this like
I gave it a 10. And I'm not backing down from that.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Sam's number 10. Where are you? Right? The right?
It's the top one.
Avengers.
Yeah, all of them.
All of them.
Okay.
So,
Avengers. Age of Ultron as well.
Okay.
Kind of.
Is Avengers?
It gets grandfathered in.
Yeah. Okay. Avengers is... No, Avengers was...
I don't think you could exactly do that, but okay.
But, yeah. Well, no, I figured
Avengers
like,
was 2012.
Oh, okay.
Like,
was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Iron Man was 2008.
Yeah.
There's three good ones, and I figured like at least two of them were going to make this, and I was like, I want to save some room for like other movies.
Okay. Makes sense.
And these are all feel like kind of the same to me.
Yeah, I guess it's a smart way to look at it. We'll let it pass.
Yeah, I was know what? Just here's your little treat with the Avengers, and like I give you some acknowledgement, and we move on.
I saw a list today, and it was incredibly trolly. It had an Endgame as the worst movie of the decade.
Yeah.
Which I was just like, wow, okay. Cool attention, bro. Chris, your ninth movie on here, straight out of... Oh, shit, I had the year. 2013, Riddick.
Yeah. So it's Vin Diesel playing Vin Diesel in his best role. It's the most fitting role for a person I've ever seen. And not to mention this movie stands for... Like... This is what you can do when just the producer and the writer and the main actor put their own money into it, and this is what happens.
That was actually my runner-up for that year for my favorite
movie. Was it? Yeah. Yes. I just think just the idea behind this movie and the sacrifices these guys had to make just to make what they wanted to, it's I can't say enough. And it was a decent movie.
No, it wasn't bad.
So,
all right. John, number 9, Wind River.
Yeah, great movie.
I could have gone.
This is not the first Denis Villeneuve movie on your list, is it? The
only. No, this is not the only. This is Taylor Sheridan, same writer.
But who directed it?
Taylor Sheridan, also directed.
Oh, that's right. It's not. That's right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I could have also gone with in this one, by the way, Hell or High Water. Which is another That's Taylor the other Sheridan. One. Yeah, there's a lot of overlap for me, and like I could have made like Denis Villeneuve and like Taylor Sheridan, and Paul Thomas Anderson just fucking sweep my 10 top 10 movies, but I didn't do that. No, Wind River's great. It's like this like frontier sort of trilogy. He's got that's like fuck it, you're on your own. You gotta kind of
solve your own problems. We reviewed this movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
But no, I love and it's got a great action set piece and the way it's kind of framed to how you go back with the flashback like right before the big moment like it's up there for me obviously.
All right, Sam.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I just said Wind River.
It's Sean's movie on your. I don't know why we gave this to a different person. Whatever.
It's fine. I like
super
this.
Confused. Yeah. Anyways, I'm assuming this is Days of Future Past.
Yes.
X-Men Days
yes,
of Future Past.
Yes. Easily the very close second best X-Men movie. X2 being number one.
After X3.
Oh, God. Anyways. It was a great movie that was supposed to reset the X-Men timeline and fix all the mistakes. Obviously, we know that didn't happen. but for what it was, for the movie we got, it was awesome. It was great. It had everything you needed. Even the Rogue cut where they added Rogue back in there and all of her deleted scenes, they put back in. It's a great movie.
Plus you got bone claws.
Yeah, you got the bone claws coming back. Oh, so no, it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it.
All right, Sam's number 9. Blade Runner 2045.
Yeah.
2049, right?
Was it 49? I thought it was 45.
It's 49. I'm pretty sure it's 49.
49, 45, whatever.
this one is also on my list.
Yes. John, you have it at number 3.
Ooh. You
gave it away.
Give it away.
All right.
It's a solid sci-fi movie. As someone who didn't actually enjoy the first one, I thought this one just did a lot better with this world. I actually, there was stuff happening.
Great soundtrack.
It looked beautiful. It was.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Gosling was really good in it.
Yeah, like, Gosling. And, like, this also made it clear to me that they're not robots.
What? Okay, we can talk about that later.
Replicants.
This is a later discussion.
It made some great. It asked like what I like from my good sci-fi is it asked like the big questions.
Oh yeah,
and I feel like it definitely did on this, even more so than the first one. Like the first one is like just very subtle, but this is great. There's a moment in this where it's like they're like flying in L.A. and there's like just like waves crashing and shit, and like the soundtrack plays and it's all. I've rewatched that like at least like 10 times just on its own. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Chris is up.
Yep.
Number 8 on Chris's list is How to Train Your Dragon, the original. Right?
Yes. Nothing would make me smile or bet more in a movie than this movie in the past decade.
Which 2010, like I said beforehand, 2010 like low key amazing year for movies.
Right. It was.
There were some great like beginnings of franchises that came out in 2010.
This is, I don't know, this is good. I loved it. I loved this movie. I don't know why.
All right. John, your number 8 is, this is going to cause some friction.
Here we go.
Dunkirk. I'm backing away from Sam.
Best war movie of the decade. Best war movie.
He's not like far away from it. For war movies of the decade.
Yeah.
This was a weak decade for war movies.
I will definitely give you that. Best war movie probably since Saving Private Ryan for me. I thought it's incredible. Like, and I think what Christopher Nolan was doing here of like essentially making a movie that's like the third act like three times over in this like weird like compressed timeline that again just looks great and was an all-time experience in IMAX. which I still think you guys just missed, like with the IMAX, because that was sick.
I still
and I would go back and see it. I hope it gets re-released at some point in IMAX so I can just see that again.
All right. Well,
number eight,
French Kai was the most interesting character in that entire movie. Anyways, Sean's number eight, Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes.
This is a tough omission
Mad
for me.
Mad Max. Yeah, so I was never a fan of the other Mad Maxes with, what's his face? Lethal Weapon guy.
Mel Gibson.
Yes. Never a fan of those, and I heard so much hype about this. I sat down and watched it, and when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this needs to win all the Oscars. This is a great movie. It's phenomenal. And like, I will sit down and I will watch this. That's another way I picked it. It's like, will I rewatch a lot of these? And this is easily a rewatchable movie. You can watch this a lot.
And literally pick it up at
any
point.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not a thick movie.
No, it's not. But it's a good, like, kind of like race for your life kind
it's
of
It's a
movie.
Creme brulee of movies.
Yes, yes.
There's not
it's
a lot
very
there.
Very simple,
but it's delicious.
Even though I don't like creme brulee, but that's a different story.
All right, Sam's up.
Yep.
Number eight, King's Speech.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is, I mean...
I had a feeling this would be on your list.
That's a little controversial, because that's like an Oscar in like a bad year. Best picture in a bad year.
Yeah, but like, you know what? This is just a solid movie. It's just, I can just sit down and watch this movie. It's entertaining. It's got some good dramatic moments.
And you almost sympathize with...
Yeah, and
his
like,
situation.
Here's the thing. This movie is the reason why I checked out The Crown.
Wow.
There you go.
I can see the connection.
Because like I was like, this was a really good movie, and you know what? Now I know. If you make a good presentation of the royal family, I'll show up.
And I just think, too, it's like, you get like Jeffrey Rush and like Colin Firth.
Yeah.
And the other one we won't mention.
The one we keep struggling
we just
with.
Can't. Helen Bonham. God damn it! All right.
Helen,
you know who we're talking
Bob
about.
Carter.
No, but I mean, like, there's some of those movies where it's like, you have just a really good cast, and you just kind of just want to watch them.
This is a good cast. Jeffrey Rush is amazing.
He's always amazing.
He hasn't really been in anything lately, huh?
No.
Other than the Pirates movies.
Maybe he's just on the Pirates money. And, like, honestly, I can't really blame him.
No, honestly, he's my favorite part of those movies.
If you're like Jeffrey
Rush,
though.
The Pirates dole out money. Disney doles out money for the Pirates movies, so.
All right, Chris?
Seven.
Yeah.
Are we on seven?
No, you're still...
Oh, no,
you just
speech.
Did... did Sam, so... John, it's your turn.
Man, this is...
It's not confusing for me. I don't know
it's
why.
It's not confusing at all.
But it kind of is. All right.
Really is.
Seven for Chris. A movie I haven't seen. The Other Woman.
It's the comedy with Kate Upton, Cameron Diaz, and...
oh, wow.
Who's the other girl?
Leslie Mann.
I don't know why. When I whittled it down to my 28, I gave it to Christina. Mm-hmm. And she's like, this needs to be on there. This is, every time I see you watching a TV, it's this. So,
okay. Yeah.
It's my guilty pleasure. Thanks. I can't stop watching it. Please help me. But it is one of the funnier movies that I've seen. And you know, Christina's around. We're watching all these things. And this actually stood out to me. So.
All right. John, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes. Second best
over the other business movie from that decade.
Well, it's not the only financial movie on my list.
Okay, good. Because there was one that's better.
Came very close to having three on my list.
And I know what the third one was.
And that
I definitely know what the third one
we'll
was.
We'll find out.
Anyway, Wolf of Wall Street. It's fantastic. It's a 3.5. I mean, fucking. I think Martin Scorsese's original cut of this movie was like 4 hours. This movie, while not really a comedy, is very much like a farce and satire at some points, and it is hilarious. Like Leonardo DiCaprio, when he wants to be funny, like he does it so well. Like Jonah Hill's in this with these like fake fucking prosthetic teeth. It's like such a weird movie at times.
It was weird. He was like whacking off in front of Margot Robbie at a party.
Yeah, and I mean, Margot Robbie's in this. She's, like, perfect. Absolutely gorgeous on top of all that. I loved it. I'd say it's, like, my crime movie of the decade. Because it really is more like a gangster movie than like a financial
movie. Oh, definitely. It's not.
Wait, Scorsese did a gangster movie?
Yeah, right.
I know, it's so weird. And it was 3 hours long.
Wow. Right.
Sam.
All right, Sean's up.
Number seven.
Number seven, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Best Spider-Man movie.
You were not alone on this
one. Yes, best Spider-Man movie I have ever seen.
This also made my list.
This is Sam's number five.
Okay. Yeah, so we weren't far off.
It is just a solid Spider-Man movie.
I am very excited for the sequel.
You're right, though. I think best Spider-Man movie in the universe.
It might be.
Spider-Man 2 is a very close second, but I really think this is my favorite Spider-Man movie.
Here's what like knocks Spider-Man 2 off the pedestal for me. I'm not a big fan of camp.
Okay.
Camp is like all right, but I'm not like I don't go crazy for
it. Yeah.
And this one, Into the Spider-Verse, not campy.
Okay.
Spider-Man 2, campy.
It was part of the time, though. Like, everything was campy.
Yeah, like, those movies were made to be campy.
Right,
like.
Right.
All right, so Sam's number seven.
Yep.
Death of Stalin.
Ooh. Yeah. This is just, I'm always a sucker for these historical movies. And also, just a really good comedy. And, you know, after talking about Chernobyl, I remember, Chris, you mentioned, like, I want more of just Soviet Russia.
Oh, it's great because it's like down is up is down.
Yeah,
and they're all paranoid.
Yeah, like even that like one scene where like Stalin's laying on the floor in his own piss, and he's dying, but they're still like playing it up, like oh God, our leader, what will we do without him? And they keep kneeling in the piss. It's just a great scene. That movie's just full of those things.
I should watch it. I started watching it and I got 20 minutes in, but I think I just.
We got sidetracked. Anyways.
All right, so this is six. This is an interesting choice. Battle Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah.
That made a lot of people's like worst movies of the decade.
I know, and it's... I don't know... I do know why I love this movie. It just, I think...
Eckhart?
Everything about that, including Eckhart, everything about this movie just... It was something I wasn't expecting, and I got it, and I was just completely blown away with the idea. Completely blown away with the idea. Just following a small unit in LA fighting aliens. I mean, can you get any more sci-fi action than that? And it was just something that really caught me off guard and stayed with me. I own it. I think I own it digitally, so it's made that list at least. I don't know. Just hit all the right buttons. At the right time.
All right.
Nothing else I can say. Have you guys all seen it?
No.
I think I will now, though.
It's really not... It's exactly what you think. It's Army fighting aliens. Aliens invade LA. That's all it is.
I've heard it's one giant like PR thing for the Marines.
It's very close to that, but then it point me to a war movie where it's not in the end. So.
I mean, Full Metal Jacket isn't great.
Don't say Dunkirk or Full Metal Jacket.
No, I was going to say, I can't think of the one. You Can't Handle the Truth. That's not a great
Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Few Good Men. Men.
Yeah. That one I would take a pass on. Anyway.
All right. So, my turn?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's confused now?
Sorry. Took me like a second to say it. Anyways, John, number six, Sicario.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Let me talk to you about Sicario for a minute. Such a fucking bleak movie that just looks phenomenal. I love Josh Brolin. Like, there's not a single movie Brolin's in where I'm like, this is bad Brolin.
Yeah.
It's all good Brolin to me.
Wasn't he Jonah Hex?
No. He was.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I haven't seen that one. So
I have. It's not good.
It's really bad.
But an incredible return.
Isn't Megan Fox in that movie?
Yes, she
too?
Is. Yeah. And so is there's so Fassbender's in it too.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
All
right. Moving away.
Well, Jonah Hex. I don't think it's on everyone's list. But let me tell you about Sicario. Just like there's a scene in there where they're going through Mexico City, or actually no, it is Mexico City, but it's supposed to be Juarez, and it's like. I didn't feel like that in a movie theater since Black Hawk Down.
Ooh.
Like it's you're so gripped and you're so in it, and it has the maybe my favorite soundtrack of the decade. By the way, I could legit do a like soundtracks of the decade. Oh, but we won't. But you know,
no, there were some good.
I would love to do that. A soundtrack that I'll just like listen to at night driving home, mm-hmm. and it just fucking rocks.
Oh, I love driving through those Juarez. Are the best. Like,
we listen to a lot of soundtracks at work. So like Sicario. Now that you say that, I'm glad you said that. I'm gonna add that to our.
It's definitely a dope, good one, dude. Yeah, it's definitely. So, a good one.
Yeah, I gotta get it.
And there's just this one last thing. There's this awesome scene that they film on like infrared cameras. Heat vision.
It's night vision.
Thermal. And it looks so sick.
It's put together because you can really screw up that shot or that style. And they did a pretty solid job for it.
Yeah. Right.
The ending I didn't like as much though. That's the only downside why I didn't put it on that list.
Yeah, it's got a bleak ending for sure. Like it's up there. But and Benicio del Toro too is maybe my favorite part of the movie. Like everything he says, like I'll just. If I could just like only talk in like lines from him in this movie, I would just scare the shit out of people. I'll just alternate. One day it'll be him. Another day it'll be what's his face in No Country for Old Men?
Oh God, Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem, and just like alienate everyone in my life.
Jesus. All right, Sam. Sean's number six.
Number six. Yep. A Girl at the Dragon Tattoo.
Yes. So this was a movie so good, I don't think I could ever watch it again. But it did one thing for me that lasts to this day. Every time Enya's Orinoco Flow comes on, I get the sudden urge to torture and try to murder Daniel Craig for some reason. I don't know why.
And just stand there and be like, this is different with a man.
Right? No, this is a phenomenal movie. Very disappointed it didn't get a sequel. Great soundtrack. Trent Reznor did it, guy who does Watchmen, and not obviously Nine Inch Nails, but who cares? Great, great movie. And the one thing for the soundtrack I will always take away is his rendition of Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that is a great cover of that song that is very underappreciated.
This was a very like underrated movie. They were trying to make the trilogy out of it.
Yeah.
It didn't make money, so they just kind of killed it off.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable to watch in a few parts, like the rape scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Very uncomfortable to watch.
Show me a comfortable rape scene.
Well, you sit... No. No, it definitely, like, it hit you where you didn't think it could hit you.
Yeah.
And it stayed with me. And it is such a... And I remember yesterday I was at your house, Sam, and our parents were watching Stars, like, classics or whatever. And Girl in the Dragon Tattoo came up. I was like, that's a great movie. And I don't know if I could rewatch it, but it's such a good movie. Like, so...
Have you ever, by the way, have you seen Zodiac?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's another Fincher movie.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yep.
Sam's number six.
Yep.
OJ Made in America.
So.
Oh, look at me. I put a documentary in a 6-hour documentary in my top 10 list.
So, one, I know this was on TV, but you know what? It won an Oscar.
It
so
was
I'm counting
released
it.
Theatrically.
I'm counting it.
Was it?
It was.
Oh, okay.
But also, I mean, it was a Best Picture Oscar. Yeah. I mean, not Best...
Best Documentary.
Best Documentary, yeah.
Please don't rehash the story.
Guys, guys, I can't, like, just oversell this movie enough. Like, you guys have to watch this. This is a really good documentary.
That's a hard pass on the OJ stuff.
No, but it's a lot more than OJ.
Oh, yeah.
It's
got, really like... Good. Race in LA issues, you got issues with like celebrity, you got like they touch on like domestic violence, they touch on like policing and like how that's done, and like it's just so good, man.
How long is this?
6 hours.
6 hours.
Okay,
but you can, I mean, you don't have to watch it in one whack. Six different episodes, so.
Okay. All right, Sam.
Plus I just love like sports documentaries. And this is like the ultimate sports documentary because it's like half a sports documentary, half a like social commentary documentary.
Right. It is, although the second half is like just OJ stuff.
Yeah.
It really, yeah. All right, Chris is number five. And I got to admit, everything I think five and above, I had at least on my original list that I whittled down here.
Yeah.
Bridge of Spies.
Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, you really cannot go wrong.
Dad porn.
And again, Soviet Russia,
dude.
He is
the dad.
It takes place during the Soviet Russia and the Cold War. It's all three of those things mixed together create the perfect movie for me. I can't... if you haven't seen it...
Chris, you're turning into a dad.
I already am a dad.
I know, but like, you've made the transition. you've officially become a dad.
I think this is one of the best spy movies since it came out, right? What year did it come out? 2015?
Same year as Mad Max.
It would have been...
I do have that. 15.
Yeah, 15. Yeah. So I think it was the best spy movie since then.
Okay.
Fair.
So,
yep. All right. So, John. Number 5. The Master.
All right. I won't spend too much time on this one. I had to pick one Paul Thomas Anderson movie because he's probably like the single, like my single favorite director. Master, this is why I picked this one. Two just fucking incredible performances by Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix, among others in this movie that actually has like a low-key, really good cast. Dude, I was just watching like a bunch of Along Came Polly clips the other day with Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's so fucking good in that movie. That is just like a piece of shit movie otherwise. But he's like phenomenal. And he's great in this too. And it's a lot about, you know, just people that make something out of nothing. And like also just kind of how people are like insane too. It's not for everybody. I'll definitely give you that. It's a little long. The end a little drags a little bit, but I wouldn't have it another way. It's great.
All right.
Sean's number 5.
Yep.
Avengers Endgame.
Yes. I threw this on this list, top 5, because I literally have watched that end fight from when Captain America picks up Mjolnir to the end several times, and I have cried every time, to the point where at times I mention like Tony Stark or Iron Man and I start tearing up. Like this movie hit me where I didn't know I was going to ever be vulnerable, and it has stayed with me this long where I'm just like thinking about Tony Stark dying, I kind of start choking up.
It's really the culmination of 11 years
of
your life.
Like, it went from people being like, oh, it's Iron Man. He's just like, I remember years ago, John, you talking about how he was like a B-list like superhero for Marvel. And I kind of I kind of argued. I was like, no, the Avengers are pretty big. And you're like, yeah, but they're not the X-Men. And what that franchise has created these like the Avengers to become. And to end it like that, the guy who started it all, it just hit me, and it was a great movie in the end. I mean, did it have its flaws? Yes, it did. But like, I loved that movie. That movie was great.
Okay.
Sam, did anybody else have Endgame on theirs? Oh, I guess Sam had the Avengers.
I had all of them. So.
Yeah. So Sam's fifth one was Into the Spider-Verse, which we've already talked about.
Just all great, right. Great movie. All right,
Chris's number 4. I laughed just because, well, Zero Dark Thirty.
Yes. I think it was the right time for when it came out, and I think it just portrayed everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great story. It really, if you followed it throughout years, granted there's a lot of differences. Not a lot. There's a bunch of differences in the way things actually planned out, but it's just the year it came out. I think, was it the year that we killed?
No.
It was the following year, I believe.
That was 11 or 12. No, okay. Zero Dark Thirty is 2012. It must have been the end of 12.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we killed them.
11.
So, I mean, I think it was
a very quick turnaround.
Yeah, it was very quick. Yeah. Very, very quick. But I think it's...
Well, they had most of the movie ready to go by that point. That's why. The only reason why it took them a year is because the original movie was about them not finding Bin Laden.
Yeah, well, they waited long enough.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that it happened and then they were just starting to release, oh, what was happening in the war room at the time, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. And I think it was just the perfect time. And I think the movie itself was very well put together. I think Jessica Chastain was flawless. I think this is his second movie. The second movie on your list? On my list, yeah, with her. Yeah. I think she's great.
She's a good actress.
I think she's really good, and she really caught me off guard with how good she can act, because I really didn't think at first she was something I would enjoy. But this movie was properly laid out. It was very well done. There was no problems that I could see with it.
And all the acting is, like, just great. Like, Mark Strong, like, that speech he gives where it's like, there's no other team, this is it, sort of thing.
Yeah, it really shows. I feel like it really showed what it was like. People started kind of forgetting about capturing Osama bin Laden, which I think we kind of did for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, whether or not it's true, this one person stayed on it, and then eventually she got him. So yeah. I think it's kind of it's really an American story, and it's really an American movie. There's like nothing America, you can do but not. Kinda. You can only cheer for America after watching this movie.
I feel like, I mean, I haven't seen it, but I feel like if you're an American, you probably should watch this movie.
It's a really good action. I would say this is the best spy movie to me, even though it's not really spy in that traditional sense. Right. But
yeah,
Sam and I will talk about this movie a little bit next week when we review The Report, which
the other end of this movie.
Yeah, on Amazon, which is not super.
Is it on Amazon?
Yeah, it is. I actually you would like it, Chris.
I'll watch it then. If it's on Amazon, I'll watch it.
And it's not you could have it on the background too.
Okay.
All right. So number four, right?
Yep.
I had to look this one up. Margin Call.
Oh, this was this third. I thought this would be the third one.
I know.
I had no idea what this movie was.
Margin Call. You're right. It
doesn't help that your writing made it look like it said Morgan Call.
Yeah.
So I was like, who's Morgan Call?
We've mentioned this movie many times.
Yeah.
Talk about
Jeremy Irons just being at like 10.
Yeah.
Like he has this one speech that I've watched that scene like a million times.
Because it's probably true. All he was just the owner. He had money and he had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, look, this is like the corporate mentality of like, well, I don't know, maybe we could do the right thing. Nah, fuck it, let's just screw everybody over. And like, I'm like a super fucking capitalist too. And like, you know, I understand that of the sort of business environment of like, well, there's like a 1% risk if we like don't fuck people over. And it's like, nah, fuck it. No, it is set during the financial crisis or on the breadth of the financial crisis, or, you know, the very, very beginning. But
early stages, as it says.
It's the first.
It's like right before it goes to shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's like I said, it's a bunch of incredible acting, a great cast. Kevin Spacey, may he rest in peace.
Jeremy Irons, Quinto,
Stanley Tucci,
Demi
Moore is
great.
Yeah, Paul Bettany,
who's just fucking psycho.
Asif Manvi,
yeah. Somebody's randomly in it and she's like deleted. I don't know, anyway. But yeah, no, if you're interested, it's almost like a good like case study and like psychology kind of movie. So but no, I liked it. I was essentially choosing between that and The Big Short. And
yeah, and you chose Margin Call.
I did, because I think it relates to me a little more. What's up?
Sorry, there's a guy in it named Uzi Man. Literally,
that's the character.
No, that's
the
guy's name, Uzi Man.
I don't know who that is.
I know, but that's just kind of a funny name, Uzi Man.
That is a little funny.
He's the guy with the Uzis.
Sam, number four.
All right,
for me, Sean's number four.
My number four,
and I'm proud of you. This The Lighthouse.
Thank you.
Sam also had this as his number four. So take it away,
number
boys.
Four. Both of us. Wow.
I'm proud you're growing up. Getting into grown up movies.
Yeah. As a fan of older movies, we've stated, the sound quality is phenomenal because it the of the foghorn, the creaking of the stairs.
Presence, and it just like it creates such a great environment of like low-key stress.
Yeah, and like the more I think about it, the more I love this movie too. Like, you know, the seagulls and like just, oh my god, it's just a phenomenal movie.
I believe this is my highest rated movie we ever did on this.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for Godzilla King of the Monsters, this probably might be up there for me as well. This is just a great movie.
It's so weird, too.
Oh, and I love it.
And, like, you can't, like, bring anyone into this.
And it's in 4:3 aspect ratio, not, like, letter... Oh, my God, it's so good.
I just, like... Like, wouldn't it just be great if, like, just Willem Dafoe is just this guy in every movie?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Like, it's Aquaman. Aquaman would be 10 times better if he was just, like, what makes a wiki want to be king of the Atlantis?
Ooh, what makes a wiki want to be ocean master?
The harp scene, by the way, in like meme, in like film meme circle, is already just a fucking instant classic.
Yeah.
When he's just yelling at him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
Anyway, number three.
Three now. So now this is the pantheon right here.
Yeah, this is top.
Number three for Chris, The Martian.
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of one of those fun movies to watch.
Easily rewatchable.
It's very easily rewatchable.
It's like tough to find a fault.
It's tough to find a fault. I think it was you, Sam, who said people are really, or maybe you, Sean. Everybody's excited. Like Don Glover is not Don Glover. Who's the guy who wrote Atlanta.
Yeah, Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. He's in that movie, too, and it's like, oh, he was hilarious in the movie. He really only had a small part in this movie, so calm down with the credit. I think that's the only fault, but it's more or less in the criticism than the movie itself.
Yeah, you're just like the fans you're annoyed with, not the movie itself.
Yeah, I can't start this movie 3/4 of the way through. And it sucks because... If I do see it, it's 3/4 of the way through. The second I click on it, I know that I'm stopping what I'm doing, starting at the beginning, and freaking watching it all over again. It's very rewatchable. It's definitely great acting. Matt Damon is one of his best performances ever. Is Jessica Chastain in this movie again?
Yep.
Jesus, yes, she is.
That's right.
What's going on?
You've got Actress of the Year award there for you.
Yeah, and then you have Lawless as your second movie. So,
yeah, jeez. I don't know. I mean, you guys have all seen it, so it's you know what I'm talking about.
It's a solid movie for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, John. We already said your number three, Blade Runner 2049.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm moving on.
So Sean, your number three.
Yep.
Toy Story 3.
Yes.
End of the era, huh?
That was like, so that movie got me prepared, I guess, for Toy Story 4. It got me to know, okay, this is the route we're going from here on out for these movies. And, for the love of God, I cried through this entire movie.
Toy Story 3,
yeah. Like, there was the part where I thought they were all going to die in the incinerator.
I mean, like, right in the beginning when, like, they're trying to, like, trick Andy into playing with it.
Right.
It's just so pathetic and just, like, tears. And, like, I mean, I'll still say it. I was, like, the perfect age for this movie, too, because it was, like, just as I was, like, in college and, you know.
Well, it even goes farther than that. So the intro where it shows him playing with like the toys, and then it plays the "You've Got a Friend friendship will never die." It fades at that point, and right there lets you know, okay, I'm in for an emotional roller coaster, and my God, is this an emotional roller coaster? And easily Pixar's best movie they've ever made, hands down. Like Toy Story 4, I know I haven't reviewed it on the podcast, but it's close.
Really? Better than like Wall-E?
I think Toy Story 3 is my favorite by far.
I think sentimentally, you know, I think I skipped this one, but I think just on emotional length, maybe like the most I've like felt at a movie like the last decade.
It's a tough watch for somebody our age.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so me?
Yep.
So Sam's third movie was Lady Bird.
Ooh.
It's just a solid movie. I mean, like...
We've said this a lot. Yeah.
I
yesterday you were yelling at our mom to see this movie.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, she would like it.
This movie is about my mom and my sister.
Yeah.
They are the exact age as those characters. They had that exact relationship at that time.
Yeah.
And neither one of them is seeing this movie, and it's pissing me off.
I smell Christmas gifts.
Yeah, for the holidays. Yeah, give them both a debrief. Yeah,
is your sister visiting for the holidays?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I might just like strap them down, Clockwork Orange style, and force them to watch this movie.
Jesus, Sam. All right, moving on. Yeah.
All right, Chris is number two, and a tough omission for my list, Arrival.
Yeah, I can't find any faults with this movie. I've watched this several times, and I cannot find any faults with this movie whatsoever.
The story is so good.
The story's good. The delivery's great. Even the reveal at the end is just as good. Like, you kind of saw it coming. You knew something was coming, and then it finally happened, and you're like, oh, well, this is entirely interesting and new. The idea of aliens teaching humans how to, you know, the concept of time is just a circle. You know, I think it's great. No flaws with this movie. Jeremy Renner, I think, delivered it perfectly, as did
Amy Adams.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't find anything wrong. Number two, it was hard to top this movie.
There's one thing wrong for you. No Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, why couldn't Amy Adams be Jessica Chastain?
It would have been number one.
I guess that's my problem. You know, Sam also has this on his list, but
there is like a lot of Renner on all of our lists.
I don't. I have one.
What do we have? Two?
It's the Renaissance.
So,
two Renner?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah. All right.
There's a lot of movies we talked about.
Moving on?
Sure.
John, number two, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah. It might be too low, too. Like.
Wow.
Like, I kind of, like, for recency bias, I don't want to put in one. The movie just pushes, like, all my buttons, man. It's like... There's just like a love of like a time past, and there's really like no point to a lot of the movie. Mm-hmm. You're just chilling out, but it's so goddamn enjoyable, and it's like it's really tough to describe. I mean, it's a little too long. It's not perfect, but I love it in its imperfections. And I think, you know, just Leo and Brad Pitt are great. And Margot Robbie is dead on, too. Mm. A lot of feet shots, so.
Listen, if they cut out an hour and a half of that movie, I would be probably in the same boat as you.
That if they cut out an hour and a half of the movie, I would not be in the same boat as me.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
All right, so Chris.
No.
Or Sean.
No. Me.
Yeah, whatever.
It's been one person you've been talking.
It's been one direction the whole time.
I was looking at Chris as I was doing it, so. All
right, he slipped.
Logan.
Logan, yes. My favorite comic book movie of all time. It's just such a good movie.
Talk about crying.
Jeez. I know, right?
These are two movies in a row.
These are two movies in a row for you, and you're crying your brains out.
Yeah. I mean, that tells you how much I like these movies if it hit me there.
Sean likes to cry.
Yeah, I guess so. I like tearjerkers, like Jurassic Park.
When they put the X down, it's just all over.
And just like the final fight where like you see it like he's dying.
He's fighting himself, which is what he's been doing this whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, I never even...
I thought I said that in the review when we were talking.
Like, I don't know, man. I was zoning out.
And like it was one of my like favorite movies of the decade was The Wolverine, because that was a nice stepping stone to get to this point. Even though the ending of that movie kind of failed, but it was definitely a good, nice stepping stone where Logan was just a great final goodbye to such an iconic comic book character. Iconic comic book characters, and I easily, this many years removed, I will still stand here and say Logan is my favorite comic book movie of all time, hands down.
All right, Sam, your number two is Spotlight.
So this movie surprises me that it's this high and that I enjoy it this much, but here's the thing, I, for some reason, could put this movie on at any moment and just fall into it and love this movie.
I feel like good journalism movies, they're like telling such a rich story.
Yeah, it's just such an interesting, rich story. And like, they play it out so well. And it's just, I'm really surprised how much I like this movie. But like, the more I thought of it, I'm like, I can watch this movie at any moment. Like, even if I, like, watch this movie, like, the previous week, I can watch it again.
Hmm. All right.
Okay.
All right, number one.
Number one. This is it.
I mean, number ones.
Best part.
The Big Short.
Yeah, I chose this movie because of the, particularly because of the style. I love the fact that this is relevant to everybody our age.
Yeah, I mean, it's the largest event that shaped the decade that followed, for sure.
Absolutely. It's had such a historical impact and just for everybody. It touched everybody's lives. And I think that they did this movie in such a way, like, I was working during the crash, and I witnessed everything. I saw everything. And this is one of the most accurate things that I have ever seen. And it's literally the most complex shit in the markets ever. And the fact that they can dumb it down to basically having Ryan Gosling, Selena Gomez, Margot Robbie, and the chef Bourdain, whatever it was, I'll break it all down into such simplistic things and then present it to an audience that they can actually understand it and appreciate what is going on. I think that style is so fitting for the time period, and it was so fitting for what actually happened. It will not work in any other style of movie except for historical references. Like, what's the other one he did? Chaney?
Vice. I think he took the wrong lessons.
He took the wrong lessons from Vice, I think. And it's you're trying to... He took a stance. And with this, it's he presented facts to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what... That's the difference between the two. I love this one more. This is easily the best movie, I think, of the past 10 years, in my opinion. Just because of style, presentation, material. It's not fiction. It's nonfiction. A lot of this stuff is real. A lot of this stuff happened.
Yeah. And just an incredible importance, too.
Yeah, and it's significant. It actually holds import to some people.
Yeah. That's... See, for me, that very much, I'm in the same kind of vein with you, because my number one was
Social Network.
Social Network. I think it's one of the only times that, like, the Aaron Sorkin style of people talking 500 words a minute works, just because it seems like all these people would. I think... It's got an incredible soundtrack again. The first, the OG Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross soundtrack. I think Eisenberg is, like, incredible in it. He's, like, so... Like, I mean, he's just Mark Zuckerberg now.
Yeah.
Like, and that's who Mark Zuckerberg is to me. You know? Like he's kind of almost just very recently sort of pushed that aside a little bit, where now he's just, like, mindless, like, robot staring back at you that doesn't feel.
Who's been parading in front of Congress the past
freaking
5 years.
But for a long time, it's like, oh, this is what Zuckerberg is. And I think it's not only important because of how much social media has shaped our world,
yeah,
and Facebook obviously being the most important part of that, and even just the internet as a whole, but just, you know, the type of economy and sort of lifestyle we're living now, where it's building something from absolutely nothing and going into a position of power, but it's, you know, a lot of these people are still just fucking kids trying to figure it out, and, like, they don't necessarily know what's the best thing. And, you know, I don't think a lot of, like, all-time great movies should get a sequel, but I would be very interested to see if this ever does, because I think there's, I mean, certainly enough source material for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I gave it to.
All right. Brace yourselves, guys, for my number one. Sam?
Is it a tearjerker?
No, just brace yourselves.
So, Sean cannot let it go.
No, I can't.
It's Frozen.
It's Frozen.
Oh, my God.
Frozen is my favorite movie of the decade.
That's actually incredible.
Yeah. Like I said, like, I thought about it, and I was like, really? And I was like, well, I do own the soundtrack, which has two versions of Let It Go. Plus, I own the Betraying the Martyrs heavy metal version of Let It Go that I listen to when I go for runs. And the more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, and I was the one who was like, hey, Amy, let's go see Frozen 2. I can't wait to see this movie. Like, dragging her and my mother-in-law to go see the sequel. It's just like, yeah, no, Frozen was my favorite movie of the past decade. Like, hands down. Like, I love this movie, and I can't tell you why. It's just a great movie. It's different from all the other Disney princess movies, which I love. The fact that it's not about a princess and a prince falling in love kind of thing.
Well,
it's not.
Is Anna a princess?
Yes.
No, he's not a prince. Okay. Never mind.
Kristoff?
Yeah.
No, he's not a prince. He's an ice guy.
They do kind of flip the script on it by making the prince as a bad guy.
Right. Which just like came out of nowhere. Like first time watching it, I was like, oh my God, Hans is a bad guy? Like, I didn't see that coming.
Was that Hans?
Hans, yes.
He sure as hell sings
a good song. Sam, it's my favorite movie of the decade. Don't question me.
He sings a good song. What is it? Love is an open door?
Yeah, I could sing that song.
Love is an open door.
No, that's not how it goes. Not how it goes. That's Love is the Battlefield, Sam. Get your still love songs right. Yeah, no, by far, like, it's a great movie, and it's an iconic movie and has like definitely been there for a lot of people, especially the song Let It Go.
Trust me, I know.
It's helped a lot of people. So,
all right. Sam's number one.
Yep.
I know where this is going.
Was already mentioned.
Yes.
It's Arrival.
Arrival, yeah. I remember at the time of reviewing this, I said, this is the kind of movie why I defend sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because this is what sci-fi can be when it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It can be really deep. It can touch on like just primal stuff like time and our perception of it. And it's just like, it's one of the few movies where like at the twist at the end, my mouth was literally open.
Can I say one thing? Having seen it with you at that point, and I had seen it before, so I knew the twist was coming. And, like, it was weird because we were sitting, like, I was a row behind for whatever reason. And I just remember, like, looking at you, and you were just so, like, like amazed. And it was incredible.
God, did we see this together?
No. It was me, Sean, Sam, and Amy.
Amy, yeah.
Oh, right. What a crew. Gosh. You didn't see it with
us. I did not. No, I did not.
Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
You got to. Oh, my God. You got to.
I had a hard time.
It's on Hulu. Interesting fact about Arrival, because I had it high on my list, too, and I was curious. So it only had 8 Oscar noms, which, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah, typically, it is no more than, like, 12, I think is the max. But it only had 1 win. Another interesting fact.
There was
only 15 movies of 132 that got more nominations than Arrival. Wow. Only 15.
Yeah.
So, interesting fact. I think Arrival didn't get the credit it was due.
Amy Adams didn't get the credit. She was amazing in that.
Yeah, she was really good.
Anybody have any thoughts on their favorite years? Least favorite years. I thought 2012 was pretty weak. Because like that was the year of the Avengers.
I think 2015 is my favorite. The Martian.
It sounded like, based on all of our lists, it is all of our favorite. Because
2015?
Spotlight, Mad Max, Big Short, Bridge of Spies.
Creed. That's in there too.
But like a lot.
Sam had Creed somewhere around here.
Yeah, it was on my list of movies I remember being good.
But 2015, it made it, for me personally, it wasn't that high. But as a group, I think 2015 probably was our favorite year, hands down. Which was weird because it was like all the best movie nominated movies made it on our lists for that year, which was weird.
Huh. Really?
Yeah. So,
do we miss any that year?
The sad thing is I'm thinking of like On Cinema's Oscar special like song, and like every time one of those movies was brought up, I sang that like bit.
I'm curious how many movies I'm going to have to watch at the end of this year to get ready for the Oscar
I know. Party. I'm afraid.
But I'm excited. I'm hoping I'm catching a bunch of them.
Right I have hopes, but we'll see.
I would say... It's 2017, I think, for me.
2017?
I've got Blade Runner, Dunkirk, and Wind River on there.
Yeah, I had... Wind River was in my top five. 2017 also had...
Of 2017.
Get Out, Logan, Shape of Water.
Ragnarok,
yeah.
Coco, Logan, like you said, Shape of
Water. Was Kubo that year?
No, but Kubo did make my top. 2016, like, that was my number two.
I saw Kubo on there, and I was sad. I completely forgot that movie.
Yeah. That is a great movie.
Wouldn't make my top 10, but like I still it would be in the
2016 was a tough year for me because I had Rogue One, which we've talked about, Deadpool, Civil War, Kubo, and The Witch. Because I refuse to call it The Witch. I like to call it The Witch.
Shout out to Brave. Brave also made my top 28. Yeah,
Brave is an excellent movie. Frozen's still better.
I did it over Frozen. I can't. After watching it for 657 times.
Trust me, I know. And I still love it.
I can't. All right. Any other last comments?
I don't think there was a single movie three of us had, was there?
No. Just two.
Arrival was one.
No, it wasn't on my list. It's like an honorable mention, though. I had two Denis Villeneuve movies already on there.
I thought we would have had.
I fucking love Blade Runner, man.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mentioned this before. 2010. So obviously, Toy Story 3, but How to Train Your Dragon, like Chris mentioned, mm-hmm. was that year. Despicable Me was that year. Expendables was that year, and then one of my favorites from that year was True Grit.
So,
I think the only controversial pick we have here is Battle of Los Angeles.
Yes, yeah. Actually, yes, I agree. I was going to be like,
watch it?
Sure,
and just take a look at it.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, like, I was legitimately interested when it came out, but then it was just kind of saying, you know.
Well, it was one of those movies that got adjusted to release. It was one of those movies that got adjusted on release date because of something that happened in real life. Right. So you know how certain movies are pushed back because of, say, a shooting or something. So this Aliens. Was, I think, one of those movies where it was pushed for something.
That alien attack on L.A.
Yeah.
Like, it was just too... too sensitive an issue at the time.
Well, they release a whole bunch. They change everything.
I know. I'm joking.
Okay. Any other last comments?
No, but concerns, questions. Was a fun exercise.
It took a while, right?
Sorry about the length, everybody.
Yeah. Well, I tried to do it in a quick way, but
the last second half could have been its own thing, honestly.
Right, but you know what? It's nice to have. I'm glad some people stuck around for it.
Yeah, and we'll probably do a top five for this year at some point. Yep. Which like probably a little bit of a spoiler.
I'd say in January.
I know what my number one is.
We'll do that later, maybe in mid-January after all the movies come out.
We do our con awards, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, why don't we wrap this up anyway?
All right.
So you can send us your list at facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. Next week, I think we're going to do Jumanji Review and maybe Knives Out.
If anybody else sees Knives Out, I mean, like I said, it's tough not to spoil. Sam and I are going to do a quick hit on Report and Marriage Story. So both on Amazon and Netflix if you want to check those out.
Sounds good. That's us for this week. Until next time.
Adios. Bye.